Thank you, John, for joining Katie and Kay. And you are running for your seventh term.
I'm running for my seventh term of Garfield County Commissioner, if anybody can believe that. And a lot of people don't. What I've always done is stand up for the folks, listen to folks, and be a decent human being with kindness, understanding, and willingness to work with anyone and get things accomplished.
For people who are unfamiliar with you, could you explain a little bit of how you came to be a county commissioner and your connection to this place?
Sure, I could do that. I was a policeman for a long time, 25 years in Glenwood Springs. I was a cobbler. I was an auto mechanic, had my own service station. I got to know a lot of people and a lot of issues, and also saw that Garfield County government was in debt. And I thought that maybe I could offer some guidance, taking my community policing practices and make it into community government practices. First election was a write-in. I had to have a write-in candidate forum for a primary, and I won. That election came up, was a great election, and Frank Breslin, rest his soul, he was the mayor of Newcastle. He was my first opponent in reference to politics. We were still good friends when he passed. And that's the way I see it. There is no one that I have any ill will. I say nothing bad about anyone else. And we always acknowledge that we have differences of opinion. And that's what's important in the United States. You have the right to speak and the right to disagree. However, there's a responsibility of that. And that is the respect to the other person who disagrees with you.
As county commissioner, what can you say is working? What's good about the way Garfield County is running right now?
We have a balanced budget. We went from indebtedness, millions and millions of dollars in debt, to now we have a surplus, which we have, again, invested wisely, and it has a return every year back to the citizens. We also created legislation back in 2010, federal mineral leasing dollars that used to go to the county, or the payment in lieu of taxes. That means that the federal government doesn't pay property taxes. You could only have one of those. If you had public lands and if there was minerals being developed in your county, you could choose which one you were going to take. I didn't think that was right, so I did legislation working with our state legislators as well as our federal, and created the federal mineral leasing special district statutes in the state of Colorado, which allowed a special district appointed by the Board of County Commissioners, but not affiliated or not controlled by the Board of County Commissioners, to receive the federal mineral leasing dollars from energy and mining, to distribute that to political subdivisions. That means special districts, municipalities, hospital districts, etc. And the county received back 100% of the payment in lieu of taxes. And that's based upon about $1.15 an acre of public lands within your county. And we have well over 1 million-plus acres. And those dollars then go into the general fund, and we can do anything with those dollars. There's no limitation. We have what we call the Veterans Administration, and the Veterans Administration officer takes care of all the vets that are in Garfield County, as well as the surrounding area. And I was able to take a building that was empty and not being used and turn that into a veteran service center, which is right across the street from the courthouse. We also put CASA of the Ninth into that building so that they can take care of the children that are coming out of, again, the court's direction on what needs to be with them. They have a nice new office. Downstairs in the building, they have a recreational area. They got weights, they got TV. We put in computer programs. Reading room is there. We're looking at a pool table downstairs, giving them something to do. And it is working well. I'm working with the Western Veterans Coalition, which takes in Pitkin County and Eagle County, and we have it centered here in Glenwood Springs. Another one is to contract with RAFTA to do Down Valley bus system, the Traveler for our senior citizens. Many things with the senior citizens, with programs that we have helped them with, from nutrition to actually paying some bills, securing locations for them to meet. little things like that. We don't toot our horn, at least now I'm talking as the royal we, me, myself, and I. I think that just getting it accomplished and making sure that the folks are taken care of is reward enough.
In running for re-election, are there certain priorities, things that you want to continue or see followed through with?
You betcha. Number one is the truth. We are on hard times. We have to be decent to each other. We have to be, again, kind, compassionate, understanding. We have difference of opinion, true. But the budget that is coming up from the state, for the federal government, and especially Garfield County and all the other special districts in Garfield County, and the citizens need to look at it as a whole, not just Garfield County government, because it's limited into the elected officials. But it's the hospital districts, the fire districts, sewer and water districts, the cemetery districts, etc. All those folks that receive dollars, especially the fire districts on the west end, are receiving almost 80% of their entire budget from the tax that comes from energy development. That is now gone. How are we going to be able to cover that? The citizens, again, need those services. We invested well. We have returns back to the citizens without raising taxes, and we have been assisting municipalities and special districts to the tune of tens of millions of dollars over the last few years. We'll find a way, but what amounts to is that tax revenue is going to hurt everyone, right up to the college, to the high schools, and those jobs that used to come along with it, they're gone. The support groups, from truckers to car salesmen to realtors, apartment buildings, handymen, all of the things that we don't think about are also struggling to stay alive because of those jobs that are gone. We have to pull together as a community, and we can't pull apart. We can't see the violence. We can't see, again, one against the other. Our strength is going to be together, and that's what we need to do. So I'm offering that, as I have every time, is work with everybody and anyone to make it work.
As you know, oil and gas and reliance on that has been questioned in recent years. I'm just curious what you think of the COGCC's new rulemaking process and what you see in the future of the economy of Garfield County and whether that can rely as much as it has on oil and gas.
Number one, let's start with the economy. It is struggling, no matter what you're looking at, if it happens to be the city of Carbondale or Garfield County, the state of Colorado, the hospital district. Each and every one of those are struggling. Where is that money going to be coming from? Because of that taxation. Remember, it's close between 50 to 60% of every tax dollar that's being collected has been from energy. That is mostly gone, not all gone, because the pipelines are in place, the compressors in place, all of the support is there, ownership tax is going to be there as well. So the sky is cloudy, but it hasn't fallen yet, and I don't think it will. As far as the economy based upon energy, we have always looked at other ways of generating revenue. We invested tens of millions of dollars in the airport, in Rifle. It is really doing well. We happen to have a state agency there that is experimental fire protection. They're using technology, they're using the brains on how to go ahead and fight wildfires, pass that technology on from drones to attacks to radar. We also have the Helitech, both for the BLM and the Forest Service there. We put in refueling stations for fire retardant. We brought in Flight for Life and gave them helipads and offices and what have you. We have 12 different, shall we say, private conveyances off of the airport. Hertz Rental Car and all of the other SUVs and what have you that are rentals that can be picked up and gone through. We have an FBO, which is Atlantic Air. Atlantic Air has charters that go throughout the world, and they come to Rifle. They also happen to have a charter system out of Aspen. So we feel that that is a great general aviation airport. We did not go commercial because then it would be tremendous expenses for TSA, for all the security items, the clearances. We also are trying to get the folks that are growing lettuce down in Silt. They're putting up a big building and trying to work with them. We also worked with ODET, which is the state of Colorado and the Office of Small Businesses and Loans, trying to locate those folks. We created enterprise zones so that those small businesses could go ahead and thrive and also have sources of federal and state dollars so that they can go ahead and open up. We also worked with Mesa County to bring in a customs officer. And everybody said, why would we want a customs officer? You have to start thinking of the future. And that future is going to be a lot of out-of-country products are going to be made and or shipped. And if you don't have a customs officer within a certain area, the businesses that use those, make those, export, import, could never be here. So working with those and thinking ahead, we're trying to get that customs officer in Grand Junction with a field office in Rifle. And that opens up international trade, both export and import. Rafting, another thing, working with them, working with the recreational folks, trails on through. We have a lot of things that we've been doing other than concentrating on oil and gas.
What do you look forward to for Garfield County?
I'm looking for the trend that we won't have to lay off people in private enterprise. I'm looking for the change in the economy that the construction industry can go ahead and hire more people instead of laying them off. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for the sun to come out in reference to relationships between cities, each other, counties, a better relationship with the state of Colorado based upon the legislation that's going there. I'm looking at, again, good investments into people, businesses, and also programs. I don't want to see the cuts that we have to look at. And it's going to be very difficult. On the chopping block is going to be animal control, contracts with RAFTA, contracts with the outside entities, businesses that do boilers or they do roads or they do purchasing. We are going to be very, very tight. I want to see those reversed. I want to make sure that we don't waste money, and we haven't. I'm very frugal with a nickel. And I want to make sure that all our citizens know that, but they do not lose services. It's going to be very difficult, but it's going to take a team effort. And that's what I look for, is the teamwork, the ability to go ahead and do better with less. And that's what we have been doing for the last 20 years. We never spend more money than we take in. And that's one of the things I started with so that we could get out of debt. This county is not in debt. It has tens of millions of dollars, $85 million at the end of this budget, $85 million invested and having returned back to the citizens. We wish to keep it. It used to be 100, but we have taken some of those dollars to make sure that we support nonprofits, municipalities, roads, and major projects that needed to be done. So hopefully we can live a little tighter, a little leaner, and still give the people the service they deserve and expect.
How do you respond to accusations that hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent lobbying for oil and gas?
I think that it is misconstrued that we're lobbying for oil and gas. We're lobbying for a fair treatment of rules and regulations. Now, you cannot just sit on the sidelines and expect someone to take care of you. We've never been that way. We've always said we have suggestions, but that costs money to speak up. You cannot participate in rulemaking with the state of Colorado or the federal government without spending dollars, without having your facts and figures intact to present them, to meet all of the protocols that it requires. That takes money. It isn't that you just send a letter and say, hey, we don't agree. That doesn't cut it. You have to be there. You have to listen. You're not attacking. We have been making many suggestions. And one of the questions that came about, under Senate Bill 181, it allows local governments to have rules and regulations on oil and gas. We pointed out that if we do rules and regulations, and that we have a minimum standard that they're looking at, we will then expect them to give us input just as any other government entity so that we can make the right decisions. Well, that's not being listened to. So we have to go ahead and show why it is important for us to do that, what the economic damage could be, and what, again, we can offer in solutions to their challenges. And there are a lot of challenges. One rule doesn't always fit. There are so many different areas that develop energy in Colorado in different ways. Garfield County has a Piance Basin. Piance Basin has always been a tough one to develop in. But with the technology, they were able to do so. We worked with them. They stopped flaring. They stopped having a well every 10 and 5 acres. They came up with directional drilling. Directional drilling has its limitations. It has maybe 2,000, 2,200 feet before they have to go back down into another well bore. But they also have to have the geometry to make that bit go down. And the geology here, the rock strata, et cetera, is very challenging. And the lenses that are, again, in oil and gas in the Piance Basin are not just one big package, but they have been broken up like potato chips and scattered on the ground. You have to find those, and you have to locate them within the, again, the rules and regulations. So we pointed that out. Instead of being over in Weld County, where they have great big reservoirs that they know where they are, and they drill down, they have to pump pressure into it. Ours doesn't take pressure. So it's different ways of doing things, and one rule does not fit all. And so that's why we have to be at the table, because groups, and God bless them, they don't want certain things around their neighborhoods, and I don't blame them. However, you got to do a little more critical thinking of that. The city of Los Angeles, at 8.6 million people in the city of Los Angeles, have thousands of oil and gas wells in their neighborhoods. And in one area of Los Angeles, there are 377,000 people within 500 feet of an active gas well. Is it right? Probably not. However, those people grew up around those oil fields and those gas fields. Neighborhoods were developed around them, because before that, it was just wide open in Los Angeles. People forget that. And that's kind of what's happening here. Neighborhoods are springing up. Oil and gas is where it is, especially in the Piance Basin. And you can't just pick and choose where it needs to be. And the other issue that people don't look at, it is not the energy company's gas. Most of it belongs to the federal government. And if people will do their little research, they will find out that federal minerals can be developed on private land. The General Land Office owned everything at one time, which is now the Department of the Interior. They sold that land, but they kept the minerals. And so they can develop those at any time. And that's what is going on as well. Now, there are private minerals, and they develop those, and they have every right to develop. And we have the split estate, and that causes problems. Some way we have to find a way to do it wisely, not just doing away with it. And I want everybody to look around their house. If they're listening to me, and they're probably rolling their eyes back and what have you, I want you to look around your house and tell me what is not a byproduct of oil and natural gas in your house. It's not your clothes, because your clothes are. It's not your refrigerator. It's not your stove. It's not the paint on the wall. It's not the carpet in your floor. It's not the tables, the chairs, not the TV. It's not your cell phone. What else is in there that you think is not some way associated with natural gas and petroleum? Air conditioner? It is. Your car outside? It is. It doesn't matter if it's electric or gas or diesel. It is. Airplanes, the motor scooter, your bicycle, those fat tire bicycles, oh baby, look at what the paint is, look what the titanium and all the other things are going. How did that get together? What was the heat that put it together? That's critical thinking, and I need people to do more of that and understand that it is something that is nasty and dirty and unpleasant and what have you, yes, and it needs to be developed safely. And we have not thrown the doors open and say you can do anything you want. I read that in the newspaper, but it is not true. The science is better. The Piance Basin is better than any other basin within the state because they have the challenges. And we said no more flaring, no more pits. We don't want you to do the density that you've been doing. On and on. Garfield County does regulate oil and gas in many ways. We've also proven it since 2008 in reference to air quality monitoring. We've been doing that. Free water tests. If you feel that your well is being contaminated or whatever, we will come out and do that. We will have a sample. We will work with independent labs. We're not afraid to say no to either side, oil and gas or the public. What amounts to is we can say yes to all if we choose to work together. One of the little studies that we had to do just to prove our point in reference to spacing, the new spacing rule of 2,000 feet from any dwelling, any building, 71% of all oil and gas wells within Colorado would not qualify. Think of that, 71%. Some people are going to say hip hip hooray and good riddance. Well, along with that come all the other things, from jobs to revenue, to support, again, to the items that you use every day. We will be, again, greener. Okay, where do the components come from solar? They're made from a derivative from natural gas. Where do all the windmills come from? How do they operate those windmills? That coating on those copper wires, where does that come from? On and on. And we need to say, let's be safer, wiser, but we have to utilize every bit of energy of every kind. And yes, we need to be better in our science in reference to solar and wind power. But you know, it's also funny that those solar and wind power grants that came from federal government came at the cost of not allowing hydropower as renewable. Hydropower, it's terrible because they have dams and it eats fish and all that kind of stuff. But it has enough potential to do away with wind, solar, and gas. Hydropower can produce that much on a constant basis. So, what do? We have to modify our approach. We have to, again, do better. And that's what we're working for. And that's why we're doing rules and regulations. That's why we're spending money, not to defend anything, but to bring light of a way of thinking that, hey, why are we fighting each other over this? Why don't we find middle ground and then do better with the other energies that we need into the future?
With multiple droughts in recent years, including this summer, I just wonder your thoughts on Western water.
Well, we asked the Utes to go ahead and do water dance. I mean, the rain dance. It works sometimes and sometimes it don't. We have multiple entities working on drought programs from the state of Colorado, the River District, the Middle Colorado Watershed, and all the other folks there. We also have storage that we work with the Colorado River Districts, from Green Mountain to Rudi. We purchased water rights out of Rudi. And the reason everybody said, oh my gosh, the county bought water rights? What do they need water rights for? Well, think of the future. We have to augment different things from fish to people. And if we don't have a water right for a release, not only for the immediate area, but also a release that will take care of, again, folks way down the line, past Grand Junction, at the 7 mile reach, and into Lake Powell and Mead. And if we can satisfy that, then we don't lose water up valley, up to Granby and what have you, and we don't have to empty out Granby or the other folks down the way because we have satisfied that call on the river. We can work with, again, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to release water for fish, and endangered species. And we can do that on an annual basis, and that's what we do. We also look at water quality and water quantity. We put meters in the Colorado River along with the Department of Reclamation so that we can look at the quality, the height of the water, the speed of the water, etc. Drought, it's going to be with us for some time. And what's happening is the wobbling of the earth in one way or the other. Some of it's man-made, some of it isn't. Some of it's going to be natural. The sun is getting hotter, we're getting more radiation. The volcanoes are erupting and doing different things to us. And we have a whole lot of people on the world that are using up a lot of natural resources as well. All of that's with us. Can I stop a drought? I'd like to find a county commissioner in the world that can stop a drought. Can I make more water? No, I can't. Little scientific fact, there's the same amount of water in the world today as there was when it was created. It just happens to be in different forms and in different areas. And it is being consumed and used differently. However, that water returns in one way or another. Humans, you're also contributing to the water because we are recycling more and more water. Energy development in Garfield County required to go ahead and recycle the water. People were screaming at how much they were using on fracking, what have you. For years, no one had any fresh water. They recycled, refiltered, and reused all of that in Garfield County.
Can they recycle all of the processed water?
They can. Now, who owns that water? This is, again, thinking more than just surface thinking. Who owns that water when it comes up out of the ground in energy development? Who's responsible for it is a different question. The companies that develop the resource and produced water comes up are responsible to take care of it. What can they do with that water other than recycle it and reuse it? Can they open it up and put it into the river? Can they open it up and put it in the ditches and spray the fields with it? And the answer is absolutely not. They don't have the right to do that. They're required to re-inject it to the strata in which it came from. And that's the state statutes. And please, people, read the state statutes in reference to produced water and what they can and can't do with it. We have been working with some companies that allow that to be filtered so it's almost distilled water, drinkable water, and irrigational water. However, we have to work with the state water engineer to allow that to happen. And he has to work with the state legislature to change the rules and regulations. And for 8-10 years I've been working on that particular issue, and I think it can be addressed. Last year we saw glimmers of hope that the owner of that water, which would be the energy companies or those that have the minerals, would be able to lease that water if it met certain standards and it could be a surface use. And if we refined it even more and went through the green process, which is in Garfield County, there's two of them, it could augment municipality water and meet the Clean Water Standards Act and would be safe for human consumption. That's what we have to do. We have to find every way to use and utilize and recycle and reuse water, because it is, again, yes, one of those things that we think is going away. It's just going a different way. It happens to go in a big pipeline that goes over to Denver, Colorado Springs, and on. That's transcontinental diversion. That's why we have all the different water plans and all the different folks that are worried about water. And then on top of that, we have the recreational folks that say, hey, we need it for rafting, we need it for water parks, we need it for again, attractions, uses. That is a water right as well, an in-stream diversion. And so people need to know that you can't just put a water park in the river without a water right. Because to have that volume of water going through your water park, it has to be released above. And that happens to be owned by the water right owners, which are senior, which are mostly agricultural or municipalities. And you can't take their water. You can't use their water unless they give you permission to. And you are a junior right to agricultural if you happen to have a water park and an in-stream diversion. That's why we have lawsuits over water. And again, a commissioner needs to know all that. needs to be in there. And I'm not tooting my horn, but it is also institutional knowledge that we need to have. Yes, I've been here a long time. Yes, I got gray hair. Yes, I'm in the 70s. Okay. But my brain still works. My body still works. And I'm working for those folks, and I'm thinking for your folks. And when they get tired of me, they'll tell me, and I'll be down the road. But I hope and pray that the people that replace me will have, again, the same vision or even better vision than I've had for the last 24 years.
Thank you very much, John Martin.